Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Yikes.
Hang on. There we go.
Could you imagine if it did?
Sorry.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Charlton, turn the microphone on just a second. Too early. No, I'm kidding. It was me. I wasn't ready. This is Make Me Smart. We make today make sense. That's our tagline. One of them anyway. It is Friday today, the 22nd day of March, 2024.
I'm Nova Safo, filling in for Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube stream. It's Friday, and that means it's time for our weekly Happy Hour episode, one of my favorite times of the week.
We are going to do some news, as we always do on a Friday. We'll take a break, and then we'll play Half Full, Half Empty. Drew Jostedt, I've been told, is in my studio downtown, which will be the subject of a grievance that I will be filing momentarily. Mm-hmm. Nova, what are you drinking?
Okay, I'm going to be that guy this week, and I'm having not alcohol. Sorry, Kai.
That's fair.
It's been too long a day. I'm having Fortnum & Mason Royal Blend Tea.
Nice.
And as it sounds, that is, in fact, I'm told the tea that the British royal family imbibes.
On a day when there is a British royal family news.
There's some news, indeed.
About Catherine, the Princess of Wales.
Catherine, we were sure.
There you go.
Well, I you know, people have been talking about it a lot today, by the way.
Absolutely, totally. So I, too, Nova, am drinking a non-alcoholic beverage. I'm drinking water because I have some things to do this afternoon. I have some driving to do. Why is my... do I have my phone in front of my screen? Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. People who listen to this podcast should know that Nova Safo, when he is on here at Friday afternoon, 3:30 Pacific time, 6:30 on the East Coast, has been up since midnight, 1 in the morning. Nova, what time do you get out of bed?
1 in the morning. 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning.
And normally I'd get a nap in, but I didn't get one in today, so that's why tea.
Ah, well, there you go.
Alki-hold. You go. Yeah.
Fair enough. I am going to run real quick through the live chat on the YouTube. I'm going to start with Chuck Clanknecht, Knob Creek 9-year-old single barrel reserve bourbon and a couple of ice cubes. Nicely done. Paul in Minnesota, where I just saw you, Paul, say you had 6 inches of snow. What is that? Paul's been drinking lots of tea lately, last couple of weeks.
It's March 22nd.
I know. Phil Gnese is drinking Bell's Oberon Eclipse Citrus Wheat Beer. Jefferson Nail having a 5 o'clock coffee. I hear you there. Let's see what else. Kay Gilbert, sure. Gin and tonic with Stockholm's Brunieri pink gin. I don't even know what that is. Kind of is the gin is the devil. There's a shout out to the absent Kimberly Adams. all right, last one. Susanna Roeming drinking water to prepare for mucho margaritas with a bunch of Girl Scout moms to celebrate the end of cookie season.
That.
Oh, I hear you there.
Oh, that's there. Awesome. That is wonderful.
I hear you there. Totally.
And hopefully,
can you imagine?
Some,
it's got to be like for accountants or something.
Which margarita, which cookie flavor would go well with a margarita is the question.
That's a good question. That is a good question.
The chocolate
Nova,
mint,
what?
The Prunella favorite?
Yeah, probably. What's your news item, Nova Safo?
Okay. The Congressional Budget Office came out with an analysis yesterday that I thought was interesting, and that is that the budget outlook for our deficit and the debt that we will have has improved a bit. A bit in that, you know, they look forward 30 years, and anything can happen in 30 years. But as of this moment, should things stay the same, 30 years from now, our projected publicly held government federal debt would be 166% of gross domestic product, which would be a heck of a lot. But it's better than what was projected only last June by the same Congressional Budget Office, which was 181%. So, progress. And what do they credit for the progress?
Yeah, I was going to say.
More immigration than previously expected into the country, which increases the labor force, which is something we absolutely need to do. This is not new information, but it's very interesting that they're tying this together in such a concrete way with the deficit and the debt pile that's happening, yep. Oh, and that's going to be continuing to happen. And the other thing is the deal last year between McCarthy and President Biden, former Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden, to restrict the budgetary spending for this fiscal year and next fiscal year, I believe, as well. And apparently that's working at the moment. And today, Congress is supposed to vote on the last parts of a bill that would be mostly in line with that agreement, which was from May of last year. And should that hold, we would be now in a new trajectory that's better than where we were. So there is progress to report. Just far too slow progress, but progress.
There is progress. And they did pass it this morning. The House passed it, and the Senate is really trying to get it done by midnight. That, of course, is when spending authority expires. So, you know, fingers crossed that there's no silly government shutdown. I would also say, and I don't, full disclosure, I did not read the CBO thing because I was in Phoenix most of the week and sort of out of the news loop. I wonder what their expectations are for interest rates on that, because they're while they're high now, relatively speaking, they are going to be coming down at some point. And that, of course, will play into how much the government has to pay for money, because the government pays for its money the same way that we pay for ours, you know?
Indeed. Well, for the most part.
Yes.
I would say one thing. One gripe, though, if I may, and this has to do with the bill, the budget bill. While I was researching all of this and thinking about, it's really in line with what was agreed to last year, then what was the point of the last year? Well, that's a bigger question. But apparently one of the things they were using to sell holdouts in Congress on this bill, at least on the right side of the aisle, was that they got the Biden administration to agree to not fly any flag but the U.S. flag on foreign on embassies in foreign countries. And apparently this is a gripe over the Biden administration allowing the LGBTQ flag to fly at certain times in foreign embassies, which leads me to ask, really, was this the most pressing issue?
Yeah, I think the thing with Congress is that everybody's got
very,
an issue.
Very, very disappointing. Yeah. It's just very disappointing that that's...
Yeah.
First of all, considered as a gay man myself, I'm very biased on this issue, but it's, one, not progress, and two, how was this at all pressing in any way whatsoever? I'm very disappointed, personally, I must say. All right, sorry, I'm all done.
No, look, that's why this podcast exists, for, you know, personal perspectives on what's going on in this country. I've certainly done it, Kimberly does it, Molly did it, that's the way it goes. Literally, by the way, that's why this podcast exists, so we can have a sort of a different outlet and people can get a different side of the people who are marketplace. Okay, so here's mine, much less consequential, but of interest nonetheless. I've talked many a time on this podcast, mostly it's me, about commercial real estate and the challenges that commercial real estate is having post-pandemic and what is going to happen with commercial real estate. And I suggest to your attention a news item, we'll put it on the show page, obviously, from a business publication called Business Now, the Washington, D.C. Version of that, talking about the sale of a place in Washington, D.C., a set of office buildings, prime location, right between the Capitol and the White House, called Market Square, right near the Navy Memorial, if you've been there. It was just sold. And it was sold for something like $323 million, which is a nice price for an office building in the nation's capital. Except the last time this building was sold in 2011, it was sold for $613 million. So $613 million 13 years ago, $323 million today, because people aren't going back to the office. It's give or take half as much per square foot as it was 12 years ago. I am here to tell you there is a reckoning coming in commercial real estate, because the people who bought it for $613 million 12 or 13 years ago financed it, right? They took out loans to do it. And now they have sold it for give or take half the price, but they still owe $613 million. broadly speaking, right? They paid off some of it and they can refinance and all that jazz. But the debt doesn't disappear. The debt doesn't disappear. So as these buildings, and we've talked about buildings in Los Angeles, we've talked about buildings now in Washington and also in New York, as these buildings sell for much less than they were originally bought for, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for the investors. It's going to be a problem for the banks who financed it. Don't sleep on commercial real estate. That's what I'm saying.
It's really interesting. Recently, the Treasury Secretary said they're paying attention, obviously, to this, but that they don't think it's going to pose a systemic risk. But you wonder how that's possible when you see such huge discounting.
Right. And look, you get where Janet Yellen's coming from. She can't actually come out and say, everybody panic! But you got to believe that there are people in Treasury who are just like, this maybe ain't great, you know?
And it takes time for this all to filter through, right?
Oh, totally.
Because of the way the commercial market works. And do you suppose these buildings will stay offices?
With their new
owners?
There are moves afoot all over the country to turn these offices into residences or apartments, right? I mean, you know, condos or apartments. But the problem is, and the New York Times did a great piece on this like a year and a half ago, about the way some of these buildings are built, right? Where the bathrooms can be, where the plumbing is. You got elevator shafts in the way. Not everybody has outside access to a window. So it's going to be really expensive and challenging to turn some of them are fine with it, but it's going to be expensive to turn some of these buildings into apartments, you know?
Well, then the question becomes, is it cheaper to knock them down and build a new building?
Right, knock them down and actually build apartments. Great. Maybe we'll get there. Don't know. Really good point.
But then, then you're talking about changing the skylines in cities.
Yes, you are.
Which it's fascinating. As we see this sift through, really.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, we are post-pandemic, right? But the economy's not done with it, and big parts of the economy are not done with it either. One of which is real estate, commercial real estate specifically. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So we're going to move on. First, though, I am going to say something that all know is coming. Well, that's right. But all y'all know it's coming because this is the week for it. This is the last day of our spring fundraiser. We've got those 35th anniversary gifts. We have a sticker, a glass mug, a tote bag, and a T-shirt, all featuring that retro logo, the original logo, which, frankly, I prefer to anything that corporate HQ has come up with.
Thank you.
But
I love
it. They disappear from the donation form at midnight tonight. That's my test for anybody in St. Paul who's listening. Corporate HQ. Anyway, we are in the last hours. They disappear, as I said, at midnight tonight. Over 1,300 of you have stepped up so far to give what you can. We appreciate it. We need it. We thank you for it. We are, though, only 65% of the way to the goal. So if you can get us there, we appreciate it. It's marketplace.org/givesmart. It is important that we hear from you because this is how we do what we do. Marketplace.org/givesmarts. We're coming right back. Half full, half empty is the game. Drew Johnstadt is the studio interloper at 261 Figueroa, South Figueroa, in downtown Los Angeles.
It's pretty nice in here.
Just remember,
I want you to put everything back.
Not even sitting on your side of the table.
Hey, Drew, just remember to really turn his volume knob on his headset up as much as possible. He loves that.
I expect you to put everything back exactly the way you found it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Let's get down to business.
All right. Half full, half empty. Go.
Sold out of Trader Joe's stores and going for hundreds of dollars on eBay. Are you half full or half empty on tote bags as a fashion accessory?
What?
Well,
I missed the story.
So did I. Drew, some background?
Those Trader Joe's canvas tote bags are hot items right now. They came out with a line of multiple different colors, and they went quickly.
Wow. Look, this is public radio, so I have to be pro tote bag. It's in my contract. Otherwise, you know, I get fired.
Tote bags. Selling the tote bags before the break.
I've got like 3 tote bags in my garage. I'm sure we've got more other places. Yay, more tote bags. But okay, I'll
these
be
are cute.
For
I just
sake.
Googled these, and they look lovely. They're very and talk about retro. Lovely, bright retro looking colors. Totally half full. Absolutely.
All right. There you go. Now we know.
Easy one.
Okay. You've heard of Little Free Libraries. Are you half full or half empty on a Little Free Blockbuster DVD lending libraries?
So Little Free Libraries, for those who don't know, are literally little, they look like, they're built to look like houses, and they're up on a, you know, 5 foot tall pole or whatever. And some, there's one in somebody's front yard in my neighborhood. They're sometimes in business centers, or there's, there actually used to be one at Marketplace World Headquarters. I don't know if it's still there post pandemic. I'm half full. What's the, sorry, what's the question, Drew? What's
little
the,
free Blockbusters for DVDs.
Oh,
if anybody has a DVD player, I love it.
Well, right. That presupposes DVD players. Yeah. But whatever. Use your Xbox.
I have one. But, you know, I actually did a survey once of the Marketplace Morning Report team. And, yeah, wouldn't you know it, literally almost no one else, nobody else besides me had a DVD player.
I'll bet you David has one because he's old like you and me. but none of the young folk do, I'll tell you that.
The youngins didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sabri didn't either. And, you know.
Oh. You know, I mean, never mind. Never mind. Let's move on before I...
Yeah. Let's move on.
Young in spirit.
Get a call from HR.
That's exactly right. Young in spirit.
Half full or half empty on the Encyclopedia Britannica IPO.
Seriously?
Seeking a $1 billion valuation. Could go public as soon as this June, I'm reading reports.
Yeah. So that's Encyclopedia Britannica is a company and it's not put out by a publishing. Wow.
It's its own company. Wow. It's the only one that survived. And in fact, for Marketplace, I went to their headquarters in, I want to say 2015. I did a story about them trying to reinvent themselves in certain ways. They're still struggling to now, but they're trying to, I guess, enter a new era.
So yeah, I'm gonna echo the live chat here. Carl Cormany, how does it make money? Debbie Michaud, what do they sell?
Education. What? Education materials. They've tried to pivot, not just, they still have their encyclopedia. They still obviously put that out. They've been trying to go digital. They have gone digital, but they have put a lot of heavy investment on education materials.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, look, just in the spirit of being pro-education, I'll be half full on that. Totally interesting. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they're still around, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Are you half full?
Is this the poll?
No,
one more. Okay.
Are you half full or half empty on a Voodoo Ranger Tombstone Pizza collaboration called the I Pizza A?
So Voodoo Ranger is a beer.
It is. Okay.
Some of which are good, some of which are not. And they're doing a Voodoo Ranger pizza. It's a what?
There's a lot happening in that
pizza flavored IPA.
Pizza flavored IPA. That's honestly, that's dumb. All those pizza flavored this or beer flavored that, just, you know.
That was a Kai question.
It was a Kai question, but that was honestly, a Kai question. why do you need, it's a pizza flavored beer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no, absolutely not. That's empty. Absolutely.
Half empty as well, even though I'm not a beer drinker, because that's just gross.
Guy's more of a beer flavored pizza kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
All right, this is the poll, right, Drew?
This is the poll.
Okay,
let's do it.
I got to get the hat tip out to Diana in Colorado for that last topic. I forgot to mention that was a listener submitted question.
Nice. That's very cool. That's awesome.
Moving along. Diana. Walmart announced they're going to renovate more than 800 locations to feature higher-end products. Are you half full or half empty on Walmart selling luxury goods?
Oh, that's so interesting. That's a Kristen Schwab story for us. She did a little bit today, a little bit this past week on sort of midline value retailers going upscale as a way to survive. It's a thing they're doing, right? I mean, Macy's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Well, what are they? How do they define upscale or luxury? Because it's Walmart, so I'm going to need a definition.
So you can apparently you can get. I learned this from Kristen Schwab today on a radio program that we call Marketplace.
Oh, is that still on?
You can buy. Yes, it is still on. Somehow, maybe not after this podcast when I get fired, but it is still so far on. I don't know why I'm being really negative about my career prospects.
I don't know.
And I'm totally sober, so I don't know. My subconscious is working overtime. Not for the first time, this podcast turns into Kai Rizdahl's therapy session. So, Walmart. Kristen Schwab told our listening public today, number one, you can get a Michael Kors handbag at Walmart. Michael Kors is an upscale guy.
Mid-level luxury.
I don't know. I mean, do you know more about Michael Kors than I do? The only way I know him
is it's not exactly like, you know, it's fine.
All right. Also, you can get caviar at Walmart. Now, you know, maybe it's lousy caviar. Okay. Are you the caviar connoisseur in the conversation? Clearly you are.
No, but I need some labels here, people. I need some specifics. There's caviar, and then there's caviar. And there's caviar.
Yeah, well.
There's a Birkin bag, and then there's a Birkin bag, you know, I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway. So there we go. We got 150 votes in. We're going to give you guys 15 more seconds. Yeah, so Jin Peck, Michael Kors isn't as luxury as he used to be.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's a fine brand, but I would say it's more like mid-level brand. It's very nice stuff you can get, but it's not exactly like high fashion.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Sorry, I'm just scrolling here.
Come on, keep up, Kai.
Pick up. All right, yeah, I know, right? I'm so lame. Okay, the poll is closed. Walmart selling luxury goods, half empty, 70% of you, half full, 29% of you, and I don't know what the other 1% are doing out there. I don't know.
Wow, I didn't expect people to be so anti-Walmart selling things that aren't, you know, cheap garbage. But okay.
Well, there we go.
Sounds like Nova has an opinion on that.
Get us out of here. Yeah.
I mean, it's just nice to have some quality up things.
Well, right. That's exactly right. And look, American consumers are very, very bargain conscious. And so Walmart's like, you know what? We're going to sell you these things. We're going to sell them a little bit cheaper. And you're going to come and you're going to spend a bazillion dollars at our store.
I think that's nice. Right? Yeah.
Exactly the way it goes. Exactly the way it goes. All right. We are on a Friday afternoon and a very, very, very long day for one Nova Safo. Kimberly and I are back on Monday. In the meanwhile, if you've got a question or a comment you want to share with us, you know how to do that. Leave us a voicemail, 508-UB-SMART. You can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. And you can also contribute, should you so choose, marketplace.org/givesmart. Just thought I'd get that last one.
And if you're emailing, I feel like you should include whether you've contributed or not so that we know whether to read your email.
So that we know. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsecker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Our intern is Thalia Menchaca.
The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodnar is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of Digital On Demand. And apparently we're not crediting today our boss of us all.
No, he's only in charge on Tuesdays. The four other days of the work week, he's not in charge at all. You just disregard everything Neil says.
That would be
Neil
Scarborough.
That's going to be the test of whether he actually listens to the end of this podcast. I used to do that to Sitar Nieves and Deb Clark all the time. Oh, man.
Well, it was nice knowing you, Kai.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.